From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 26th day of April, 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, and TGM's own Matt Bennett will be here to look at the cash grain market. He's in Windsor. In agricultural news, Indonesia has suspended the import of U.S. beef due to the discovery of a BSE-infected animal in California this week. That's mad cow. Japanese and South Korean authorities say they have no plans to suspend imports of U.S. beef. Bunge is reporting smaller than expected first quarter earnings, and the International Grains Council has lowered its global wheat production forecast. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly, and then we'll hear a brand new installment of In My Backyard from Lisa Braltz as we make our way through this half hour. We'll also talk with Peter Levitt, agricultural meteorologist, right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day with the wheat contracts higher, 626, the settlement price in the May up 9.5, July at 635.5, 9 cents higher, and the hard red in Kansas City finished up 8 cents at $6.50. May corn futures, 624, 13 cents higher a bushel, July at 607.5, up 6.5, and September at $5.48.5, a half cent lower, December futures 535, down 3, the March at 546.75, down 2.75, and the May corn at 555.25, down 2.75. May soybeans, $14.81.25, up 7.75 for the day. July at $14.80.25, up 4.25. And the August, $14.53.25, down 5.25. September futures were lower as well, down 8.75 at $14.02.25. And November beans, $13.58.75, down 11.75. January futures, $13.55.75, 12.5 lower. And the July of next year at $13.21, down a dime. Bean meal at $4.19.60, up $5.70. Bean oil at $55.37, 28 cents lower. Live cattle futures from the CME Group finished the June at $112.37.5, up a dime, but the August were 55 cents lower at $115.45. May feeders at $148.57.5, 2.5 lower. The August at $151.55. That's 62.5 cents lower on the day. And June lean hogs at $87.42.5, down 15 cents. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures June contract, $104.56 a barrel, up 44 cents. Ethanol at 215 and 4 tenths. That's a tenth of a cent higher. Natural gas at $2.03 and 6 cents, down 3 2/10 of a cent. And heating oil at $3.19 and 8 cents of a cent, 3 7/10 of a cent higher. Gold futures at $1,659.60 an ounce, $18.20 higher. The dollar at 78.92, down 0.08. The CRB index at 303.31. That's up 1.23 on the day. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area from the National Weather Service says this afternoon we'll see mostly sunny skies with a high of 67 degrees on a north-northeast wind at 15 to 17 miles an hour, gusting all the way to 24. And then this evening, skies will be partly cloudy, a low of 35, and east-northeast wind at 11 to 15, gusting to 21. Tomorrow, Friday, a 20% chance of showers after 1 in the afternoon, mostly cloudy. A high of 56 degrees tomorrow, east winds at about 15 miles an hour, gusting to 20. And then Friday night, showers will be likely, cloudy, a low of 44 with an east wind at 16 miles an hour, gusting to 21. The chance of precipitation set at 70% tomorrow night. And Saturday, a 50% chance of showers, cloudy, a high near 56, east winds at 11 to 16. And Saturday night, a 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy, and a low of 39 degrees. Sunday, sunny skies and 59. Sunday night, cloudy and 44. Monday, partly sunny and 65 degrees. Monday evening, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and 51. And on Tuesday, showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a high near 72 degrees. Tuesday night, showers and thunderstorms and 58. Wednesday of next week, showers and thunderstorms will continue, mostly cloudy and a high near 77 degrees.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. Dan Zwicker at ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, is on the phone line this afternoon to take a look at the marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
You're not actually in Decatur today, right?
No, I'm in Oakland, Illinois. Paul Cooley had the guys down here kind of had an open house reception for him, so I've been spending the day down here with Paul. We've been in our scuba diving gear hunting for those charts at the bottom of the ocean.
Did you find any of them yet?
We're still hunting.
Yeah, I suspect you'll hunt for a while, and it might be a good hunt by the time of day. Okay, so I know you looked at the charts and you've been watching the marketplace because Paul's that way all day long. So what did you see today, and what's changing in the charts or not?
Well, I don't think anything's really changed. I think today has to be called one of Paul Cooley's profitable days, in a sense, is because the people that were long beans, short corn spread, which has been a very popular position for the month of April, we saw a lot of that profit taking here today, and that's kind of what had a lot of pressure on soybeans earlier in the day. The fact that basis levels are above the board in corn eventually brought May corn up 13 cents today. So it tells you the dangers of being short futures going into a delivery period when cash prices are above futures. So basically what you're going to see here is the longs or end users are going to force delivery on the shorts that are short May corn, or they're going to have to buy their way out and bring the futures up to closer to cash. So that's what's the big function here in the old crop months. Both corn and soybeans went higher. We've got a lot of China business in the corn market, so your exporter is going to want to take delivery on both corn and soybeans. So that's what's supporting those old crop months. And all in all, after the big weakness that we saw earlier in the day, I think the markets closed quite well.
Now, that's a market play and does have some fundamental impact on the marketplace. But once these months expire and we get things back to out of expiration, that is, and we don't have to worry about deliveries, what happens to the next lead option month then?
Well, who knows? My guess is that this old crop corn is still very tight. I know USDA's got an 800 million bushel carryout, and that's what we may end up with. But the current pace that we're using cash corn is probably closer to 500 or 600. So either you're going to have to bring futures higher, or you're going to take basis levels higher to somehow slow this daily consumption of corn. And then with China being a new buyer into this market, of course, most of their business is probably going to be new crop, but they have bought some old crop. And then we're still selling old crop soybeans because of the shortfall. You know, when you look ahead at the May supply-demand tables, the soybean supply-demand tables on both old and new are going to be very, very tight. USDA is going to use their numbers, what they came out with on the March report. Now, the corn supply-demand table probably on are going to look a little sloppy because USDA is going to use their grain stocks report. Now, they may increase exports on corn and maybe bring down the carry out on old crop a little bit. They may increase ethanol. I think there's room to do that, but that'll be something to watch. But we know that with the big corn plantings and the early plantings, probably USDA is going to come out with a fairly sloppy-looking new crop balance sheet. So that's kind of why new crop corn has been on the defensive here over the past couple, 3 weeks, and beans have been much more supportive.
Once we get past the sloppiness, if we were to have a normal growing season at this point, and maybe you have a handle on how many acres of corn you think might have been put into the ground and what's been changed over to soybeans, what happens to new crop once it's on its own and we get into the September-October time frame? Will we drop as far as many think and are predicting at this point?
Well, we got a lot of water to go under the bridge before you can start putting a $4 corn, I think. Demand is very strong. We've got a little different demand base underneath this market than what we had a few years ago. And I'm not a super bear. Now, there's no doubt if we would happen to bust, you know, the yield barrier of 164, 165, and we do go ahead and plant most of the acres that USDA says we planted, we're going to have a lot of corn around. And, you know, we'll have to kind of deal with this. But demand is much stronger underneath this market. And you know, I know everybody's anxious for a big corn crop. A lot of people are anxious for that. But, you know, I guess I'm more inclined to kind of side with Daryl on yield expectations with that kind of planting. I think, you know, 159, 160 is plenty stout. Actually, you know, the weather pattern, these early springs, early planting is not necessarily you can point to high yields because for the most part, my observation, when you plant early, you're in a drier weather pattern, and a drier weather pattern is not very good for high-end yield. So I guess we'll see how that plays out during June, July. But this market is going to be it's going to be hard to keep your arms around it. We're going to see a lot of spread changing. We're going to see a lot of inter-trading commodity spreads. And, of course, the wheat market, I think, performed quite well today. A lot of that is probably being driven by some of this frost damage that was done a week ago, and maybe we might get some again over the next few days, depending upon which weather guy you talk to.
And the International Grains Council, of course, today suggesting that world wheat stocks would be lower rather than staying on par. And so that may have pushed the market, I suppose, too. Can you go on?
Yeah, there's no doubt. Europe has got a lot of weather issues. They've had weather issues all winter. They continue to have those weather issues. So it's not solely a U.S. market.
Turn your attention to the soybean futures. Awfully good price for old crop beans, but when you talk to producers, if they were on the ball a couple of years ago, they might have sold old crop beans for a higher price than what's out there yet today.
Yes. I guess, you know, I'm bullish the corn-soybean ratio. You know, you've heard me talk about it for some time. I do believe, you know, over the next 12 to 18 months, we're going to go to 3-to-1 or 3.2-to-1. Now, the question is it $4 corn, $5 corn, or $6 corn? And then you multiply that to come up with beans. But my guess, when you look at the charts, this corn-soybean ratio has had a tremendous run here over the past couple months, and it's probably due for some corrective measures. And if we would get ourselves into some dry weather worries, the corn market would respond, and I think a lot of those new crop shorts would get chased out. So I guess, you know, if I was going to be a seller or anything, I'd be more inclined to be a seller of soybeans because I do think the higher soybean prices are buying some soybean acres, not a big chunk, but I do believe probably come June 30th we'll have a little more acres than what USDA reported, but it's still going to be, we still need a big South American crop if we're going to fulfill this demand that's coming out of Asia.
Dan, I tell you to have fun there at the Cooley shop this afternoon, but given the chatter in the background, I bet you're looking for the charts in the bottom of the glass now. So you have fun and be safe, okay?
Okay.
Thanks so much.
That's
Dan Zwicker. He's with ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. And he'll be in for Commodity Week along with Paul Cooley and Wayne Nelson this week. We'll have a good time there, too. Commodity Week, of course, is our weekend look at what happened in the world of agricultural markets. We record about 4:30 on Friday afternoons. We'll post it to the website at willag.org by about 6 o'clock tomorrow evening.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Well, Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming, is here now. He'll take us through the agricultural news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, Indonesia has suspended imports of U.S. beef following the discovery of a new case of mad cow disease in California earlier this week. The ban begins today and will last until the U.S. can show that its beef industry is free of any mad cow disease, that according to Indonesia officials. Indonesia will import more beef from Australia, Canada, and New Zealand to make up for any shortfall caused by the suspension. U.S. beef accounted for 20% of Indonesia's overall beef imports in 2011. Authorities in Japan and South Korea said yesterday they have no plans to change their import policies for U.S. beef. Bunge Limited's first quarter earnings fell by a greater than expected 60% as weaker fertilizer prices and unfavorable ethanol margins cut into the agribusiness giant's bottom line. Bunge reported a profit of $92 million, or 57 cents a share, down from $232 million, or $1.49 a share, a year earlier. The International Grains Council today downwardly revised its estimate for world wheat production in 2012-13 by 5 million metric tons to 676 million tons due to worse-than-expected winter damage and recent dry conditions sharply reducing the European Union crop forecast. The London-based body, though, says it still expects global corn production to increase 4% on the year to 900 million tons, with world supplies perhaps topping 1 billion tons for the first time. Kellogg Company's first quarter earnings fell 2.2% on weakness in Europe and as lower sales of certain products like Morning Foods hurt the cereal maker's U.S. sales. Kellogg cut its full-year guidance, saying soft sales volume in the U.S. and lackluster results in Europe contributed to weaker-than-expected first-quarter results. Kellogg reported a profit of $358 million, down from $366 million. Per share earnings were flat at $1. International sales fell 7.1%. as a double-digit drop in European sales masked growth in Latin America. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Common Ground Food Co-op in Lincoln Square Mall, featuring organic and local foods grown right here in Illinois.
Hi, this is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Coming up next, Lisa Brocks puts on her hiking shoes for some urban foraging in the latest edition of In My Backyard.
When I was 11 years old and living with my family in northern Florida, My mother somehow heard a rumor that somewhere within a 20-mile vicinity of our house was an abandoned blueberry farm. Mom did some reconnaissance, and we soon found ourselves in our Volkswagen bus heading north to pick enough blueberries, not just to eat, which is what my brother and I were interested in, but also enough to preserve. We were doing what naturalist and extreme wild food nerd Ewell Gibbons called reaping where you don't sow. We probably could have filled the VW bus with tasty edible plants from the woods that day, but instead we just filled it with blueberries. When people discuss spring foraging around here, they talk about hikes to secret locations in the woods and the searches for the sexy wild edibles that follow, like ramps, for example, also known as spring onions or wild leeks. There's feral asparagus. And these seem to be the holy grail, morel mushrooms. You know someone likes you when they leave a bag of foraged morels on your front steps. You know they really like you when they take you along hunting for morels. But some folks don't have to even leave their premises to find this super seasonal food.
The first time I noticed a mushroom, a morel mushroom, was the spring after we had a Chinese elm cut down. And I walked, it was morning, and I walked outside to walk Jeff to his bicycle to so he could ride off to work. And I just glanced down and... is that a morel? And I was just like, got on the internet immediately and made sure I had a real morel and then ate it for breakfast.
Those of us not lucky enough to find morels anywhere, much less the front yard, or to catch wind of wild blueberries in the forest, must satisfy ourselves with other wild edibles. It doesn't have to be complicated. The foods you can find in your own backyard or on a walk through your neighborhood are probably what you refer to as weeds. You've probably lamented their very existence. You've probably even tried to kill them. Eat them instead. I spent about 20 minutes after getting home from work the other day looking for edibles in the backyard that I didn't plant. I dug up some beautiful dandelions. The whole plant is edible, but I was just going for the leaves to cook up with some garlic and red pepper. I snipped some violets for salad. I discovered some early lamb's quarter, which is a great substitute for spinach. And I found some rogue lemon balm.
This is sort of an extra bonus. This is lemon balm. It's growing right next to our garage. And I never planted it. I'm not sure anybody ever planted it on purpose. So I'm going to cut it.
Urban foraging is a hot topic. Many books and field guides with full-color photographs exist to help foragers correctly identify plants while they're on the hunt. There are also some very geographically specific field guides. The internet works well, too, if you don't mind bringing stuff home and identifying it later. I love the books by Ewell Gibbons, especially Stalking the Wild Asparagus. I'd never be able to identify a plant from the drawings in the books, but his writing about wild foods is sublime. So, is it too late for morels? This is the first year in 5 that Jill hasn't found a morel in her yard.
Nothing happened this year. Freaky weather is my guess, but... bluebells and morels are the thing. And so when your bluebells are blooming, you know to look for morels. And my bluebells bloomed, and I started looking, and there's nothing.
I'm not so sure. My friend Brian spotted a solo morel in his neighbor's yard the other day. He couldn't decide. Take it from their yard, knock on their door, and ask if he could pick the mushroom? He waited too long to decide. The lawn was mowed the next day. Morel of the story? Pick 'em if you see 'em. For In My Backyard, this is Lisa Braltz.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. Hey, just a reminder that coming up in the month of July, I believe the 19th and 11th, the Top Farmer Crop Workshop over at Purdue will take place. It's in its 45th year. And if you sign up now at the Commercial Ag Center at Purdue's website, you'll be surrounded by farm management experts, a group of your peers. Of course, you can evaluate your own farm operation from a business standpoint, focusing specifically on the economics, the agronomics, and technological opportunities and challenges. It's the 45th annual Top Farmer Crop Workshop. This year, a co-production of the University of Illinois Ag Economist and the Ag Economist at Purdue. And as it happens, I should be there all 3 days as well. Check out the Commercial Ag Center at Purdue. Back in just a couple minutes with the weather.
It's National Pretzel Day. The pretzel dates back to as early as 610 AD, where it was believed that monks used scraps of dough and formed them into strips to represent a child's arms folded in prayer. The hard pretzel was the lucky result of a 17th century Pennsylvania baker's helper who accidentally overbaked a batch of soft pretzels. Not only was the batch crunchy and tasty, the master baker realized the moisture-less pretzel would keep fresh longer. On this day in agricultural history in 1921, the first U.S. broadcast of the weather was made from St. Louis over radio station WEW for the federal government. In 1986, Chernobyl nuclear plant in the Ukraine exploded in what was then the worst nuclear disaster in history. In addition to the human toll, agriculture and livestock was contaminated by radiation in large areas of Europe for years to come. In 2005, a herd of buffalo escaped from a farm and wandered around a Baltimore, Maryland suburb, disrupting traffic and shutting down several major highways. Police eventually herded them onto a tennis court. In 2006, Chicago banned the sale of foie gras. The ban, adopted on a 48-1 vote of the Chicago City Council, made restaurants and retail outlets selling the fatty livers of geese and ducks subject to a $500 fine. Chicago Mayor Richard Daley was less than enthusiastic. He was quoted as saying, "We have children getting killed by gang leaders and dope dealers, and we're dealing with foie gras? Let's get some priorities." And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Here's a quick look at the weather forecast for this evening. Partly cloudy skies and a low of 35. Tomorrow, a 20% chance of showers. That after 1, a high of 56. The showers will continue into Friday, Saturday. Saturday evening, Sunday, we'll get to mostly sunny skies in 59. And then the chance of showers come back on Monday and Tuesday of next week. And on Wednesday as well. Pete Levitt not available, but on the phone line with us, as it happens, is Matt Bennett. He'll help us take a look at the cash grain market this afternoon from Windsor, Illinois, and TGM. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
And well, let's start with basis and bids and all kinds of things in the marketplace and what's been happening.
Well, basis is actually holding pretty steady for the most part. You know, our cash bids on corn and beans are as good as what they've been for a while. They haven't really fallen off. They had there one time here probably a month and a half ago, but they've kind of slowly built back in. You know, we're running, you know, eight over in this neck of the woods, so I know there's areas that are probably running significantly higher than that close to the river. As far as beans go, you know, we're only 15 under, so pretty good basis levels this time of year.
That for the spot. What about for the first half?
Well, for first half of the fall on corn, you know, there's a lot of people looking at bids such as this, you know, basing it off of September. And, you know, first half of SEP would be, for us, going to run around 20 cents higher. So, you know, we're going to run around 528, 530 in that area, depending on which elevator you're looking at. And, it's not too bad of a deal. But the thing that I always caution guys with is it's a pretty important that they're sure that they're going to be able to deliver in that first half, because there's usually a significant penalty if you don't.
And what does that mean exactly? What time frame is first half?
First half is the first 15 days, so 16th too late. You know, and I there's processors that attach a 30-cent charge, you know, if you don't get it delivered. So, you know, virtually you've lost out on your premium and then some.
And producers are probably pretty confident, I would think, that they'll have some corn that they can deliver in the first half of September. Right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think they're very confident. In fact, you know, we had a ton of corn planted in our area before April 1st. Guys probably don't want me to highlight that too much, but at this point I think we're past any insurance situation. So, you know, there's a lot of corn planted the last 3 or 4 days of March. And, you know, with any sort of normal weather, barring just a very, very cool summer, there'll be a lot of corn picked in August this year, let alone the first half of SEP.
You know, I had to think on that 1st of April when they called from NASS and said, "Have you planted corn yet?" That probably was an interesting conversation.
Yeah. You're just hoping that the planter doesn't beep whenever you're on the phone with
them. That's right. Hey, what? Yeah. You gave me the unders, but what are the bids for the day?
Our bids for the day on cash corn were 6.32 first half of step against 5.28, and then beans would be cash 14.67, fall 13.33.
Thank you so much, Matt.
Yep. Thank you, Todd.
Matt Bennett is with TGM. He's in Windsor, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. You can always hear him again if you'd like off our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org on your mobile phone at m.willag.org or on a regular phone at 217-333-3434. You won't find Matt there, but you will find the analysis and a bit of the numbers either from either the open or the close. We post those at about 10:15 and 3:15 Central Time each and every day. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.